Let's go to the source in the Chumash. Why is a seance forbidden? Communicating with the dead is against halakha.
Oh.
How do we know that? Yeah, my best topics I get from Yaakov Golden, questions they...
I come up with the strangest thing.
And that's, So, well, let's go to the source, and then we can trace it from the written Torah to the oral Torah. Okay. Go to the source here. Okay. Sign. Let's go to page 380. The last pasuk of 380. It's Vayikra, chapter 20, Leviticus 20, verse 27. That's page 380, Pasuk Chav Zayin. See that? 380, Pasuk Chav Zayin.
Yeah.
The Isho Isha. A man or woman, Kiyabem Ova Yadoni, who would practice, I think it's called in English necromancy. Ova Yadoni, that's the way they would contact the dead. They would take a bone or a skull of a dead person, and they would communicate with the dead through Ova Yadoni. That's different type of, like having a seance using part of the dead body of a person. Mos Yemusu, the person that practices that, shall be put to death, the Evan. Yigam Oso, Osam, they should be stoned to death, the Mayim Bum. So it's capital punishment for the one that conjures up the spirit of a dead person. It's capital punishment. The guy who consults it, for him it's a negative commandment. It's not capital punishment. It's for him it's lashes. But for the person actually doing it, it's a capital punishment.
What about Goy?
What about Goy? Goyim are allowed to do it. That's why Unkelus, before he converted to Judaism, Unkelus, remember Uncle Unkelus? The Talmud of Sanhedrin said before he converted to Judaism, he conjured up the spirit of what? Of J.C. Penney.
Yeah.
And also the spirit of Bilam. So
what
this
did
is
they
only
say?
What do they say? That the Jewish people are most beloved upstairs, even though we're hated down here, we're beloved up there. Okay.
Well, J.C. was a Jew.
That's right. So you see that this is forbidden only for Jews, but it's not against the Noahide religion. It's not against the Noahide religion. Okay. Okay, so here it's found in one place. It's also found in the book of Devarim. It's also in the book of Deuteronomy. And why is it repeated there? So here you have in Vayikra. Right? But it's also in the book of Devarim.
This is what King Saul did.
King Saul did. How he was an Orthodox king. How could he do it? So the Mefarshim explained that the Kuach Nefesh. The Kuach Nefesh, if you can eat on Yom Kippur to save a Jewish life, you can certainly conjure up the spirit of a dead guy to save a Jewish life. Here the IDF was in jeopardy, and Shaul HaMelech had to know whether to commit the troops to battle or not, in which front, and therefore the Inyan of a Kuach Nefesh, and therefore he was authorized to do it, like desecrating the Shabbos to save a life.
Yeah,
and here wasn't just one life, it was the life of the IDF.
He should go to the high priest and also...
No, but the high priest wouldn't answer him. Remember, we say that. He was shut out.
Yeah.
He had Ein Breira. He could have gone to the high priest, but he was shut out. They wouldn't answer him because he killed out the Kohanim, remember? So he had no Breira. Okay. Okay. So here you have in Parsha Shoftim. It's repeated again. In Parsha Shoftim, Mitzvah Tovkov Yud Gimel, Tovkov Yud Dalet. Tovkov Yud Gimel, Tovkov Yud Dalet. In Parsha Shoftim, Tovkov Yud Gimel, Tovkov Yud Gimel. Tovkov Yud Gimel. Yeah. In Parsha Shoftim, the book of Deuteronomy, is a negative commandment. Yeah. Not to consult the witch or the seance person, the medium. And this is found in Masechta Sanhedrin, page 65. If you want to look it up, Masechta Sanhedrin, page 65. I think it's 2 stars. Give that man a star. So again, the one who conjures off the spirit, Rabbi Yaakov, the one who's actually in charge of this seance, he would get stoned to death with witnesses and a warning. The person that consults him, he only gets a Malkus.
Malkus, yeah.
Okay, so this is found in the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tovkov Yud Gimel. Mitzvah Tovkov Yud Gimel is who's good in math. In Mitzvah Tovkov, Mitzvah 513 in Parshas Shoftim. Mitzvah Tovkov Yud Gimel is 513. And it's found in the Tractate Sanhedrin, page 65. Thank you. Tractate Sanhedrin, page 65. The Rambam Hilchas Avodah Zarah, chapter 11. The Rambam Hilchas Avodah, chapter 11. Again, the one who conjures up the spirit of the dead person, he is Chayev Skila. Skila means what?
Stoning.
They'll stone me when I'm riding in my car.
That's one of the
They'll stone you when you...
That's even the worst of the
four. Skilas, the worst of the four.
Yeah.
The guy who consults the necromancer, is that the right word?
Yeah, gets lashes.
The one who consults him, he only gets only lashes. Actually, he says that Aimboy Malkus, Aimboy Maisa, I don't know why. He says that the one who consults the, he is Oiger Alav, but he won't get Malkus, it's Alav She'Aimboy Maisa. Because you're only asking Gene Dixon to bring up the spirit. So even though you transgress a negative commandment, the asker, the inquisitor, that's the right word, the inquirer, is transgresses a negative commandment, but he won't get Malkus because she'ain boy Maisa. What does it mean, ain't boy Maisa?
There's no action.
He's just asking the witch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lab, but he will not get Malkus. He's not doing an action. He's just requesting. The person that actually conjures up the spirit, he is Chayev Skila.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this Isser is not for Goyim. So Edward Casey wasn't Jewish, was he, Edward Casey? He was a great medium, mm-hmm. seance. He wasn't Jewish. So for a non-Jew, it's okay. For a non-Jew. Keep the 7, go to heaven.
We always grew up thinking this was a ridiculous joke.
Yeah. Well, he said that he tried to expose them. What's his name? Houdini. Didn't he go around exposing them? Houdini.
Right.
Harry Houdini.
Right.
Eric Weiss was his name. Son of a Hungarian rabbi.
Really?
Yeah. Michiel Labze. Ein boy Malkus, ein boy Meise.
So, is it for real or nothing? I guess it is.
It's surreal, but
they must not know how to do it anymore.
They know how to do it. They lost it, right? So we're going to go. You've got that magic. You lost the magic touch. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Kishu Zeskila. So let's go to Sanhedrin 65 and see how the oral Torah explains this negative commandment. Head in page 65. Thank you, Brian. So head in page 65.
65 what?
Take a look. So head in 65.
Anyway, it's very spooky things like that. Huh? It's not from
yeah.
The dead spirits will suddenly speak and give messages. Man, we always thought it was...
Actually, the Mishnah, 65A1.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it. Mishnah 65A1 in Tractate Sanhedrin. The Mishnah here speaks about sins that are punishable by stoning.
Yeah.
Baal Ov, a practitioner of Ov. What does that mean? Practitioner of Ov. Zeh pitom yedabe b'shechiyoy. This is a pitom who speaks from his armpit. Look at note 1. A pitom is a necromancer. You like that word? One who communicates with the dead. You with me on this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. One who communicates with the dead. He does this by raising the spirit of what? Rabbi Yaakov, you asked for it. You got it. You asked for it. He does this by raising the spirit of the dead guy from the ground, and it speaks through his armpit, mm-hmm. like ventriloquist, where his voice emanates. Okay? He's chayev skila if he does that.
What about when you go to all these tzaddikim on the graves and you pray there?
You know how to pray to the dead person.
Yeah.
You have to pray to Hashem in the honor and the schus of the dead person.
So you can do it here in the Beit Midrash.
Right? Okay.
Somebody told me there was a custom, I think he's mistaken, of going to a cemetery with a minion to say Kaddish on a yard site.
Yard site? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any cemetery. This particular person, his
wife, to go on the yard site.
His wife's buried in the United States, but he wants to go to Har HaMenachat on her yard site.
I did it with some Sephardi several times.
Okay.
This amazing story from the Vilna Gaon. Why do you go on the yard site to the cemetery? Because the neshama comes down.
Comes back.
The Vilna Gaon. Listen to this. Chaim Volozhin writes this, because he's a Talmud Muvak. The Vilna Gaon had a brother, Rav Zalman, who he claims was even greater than him, died very young. So Rav Zalman says, our mother's yard site is coming, let's go to the cemetery, my mother's yard site. So they go to the cemetery. And they say Kaddish there. On the way back, the Vilna Gaon turns to his brother and says, you see how happy mom was? Mom was very happy. We made her happy. Rav Zalman couldn't see it. Vilna Gaon saw that his mother's neshama came down and she quelled. How do you say quelled?
Mm-hmm.
She had naches. Did you see how mom was so happy that we came to her grave on the yard site? Rav Zalman said, no, I didn't see. You have to have Vilna Gaon eyes to see, right? The next year, Rav Zalman calls his brother, mom's yotzeit is coming up, let's hire a taxi and go again to the cemetery.
Yeah.
You said made mom very happy, right?
Yeah.
He said, I can't do it. He said, you should know how I suffered. Because he didn't just see his mother's neshama. He saw the neshama of those rishoyim that are trapped, how anguished they are. I can't take it, he said. His holy eyes didn't just see his mother's neshama. It saw the neshama of Rishayim,
mm-hmm.
who are trapped. They can't even get into hell. And they have to hang around what? The grave. They're homeless. Mm-hmm. It caused me such anguish, such tsar.
Yeah.
I can't bear to see it again. I'm not going with you.
We say in our language where I grow up, we say a lost soul. The soul is lost.
So where does it hang around? It has nowhere to go. If you didn't, Misha Torah be'erev Shabbos yoichel b'Shabbos. Misha loy Torah be'erev Shabbos ma yoichel b'Shabbos. This world is considered erev Shabbos.
Yeah.
The world to come is considered Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So the Talmud says, whoever prepares and works hard on the Erev Shabbos,
mm-hmm.
he'll have what to eat on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't prepare anything on Erev Shabbos, when is Erev Shabbos? This world. What are you going to do when Shabbos comes? People that wasted their lives and didn't prepare, they have nowhere to go. So they have to hang around the cemetery. I can't take that anguish anymore. To see them in such pain, they have nowhere to go. The body is rotting in the ground.
Oh.
They have nowhere to go. It's a Nebuch. I can't bear to look at them. I'm not going back. Vilna gone to his brother.
I don't understand.
You hear what's going on here?
It's not
a punishment.
What's this?
It's not a punishment. You didn't do anything. So God says, what do you want from me? I gave you life to prepare. No. If you didn't prepare, you wasted your time. How can I help you?
So it's even not a Rasha would go to hell to get Gehenom.
You have to get Chusik to get into hell. Some people are so bad they can't even get into hell.
So, but these are
these people are lost souls. They didn't, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we are over here. So back in the Mishnah, the Yidoni, another type of them, necromancy. You like that word? He speaks, the spirit speaks through the mouth. The sorcerer takes a bone of the and puts it in his mouth, and the voice of the dead person speaks through that mouth. If you do that, it's both punishable by stoning. Torah states a practitioner of Orva Yidoni is put to death by stoning. Banishal ben Bazara, one who inquires of them, for him it's just a regular prohibition. Right? Look at footnote 4.
Yeah.
One who consults a practitioner of old to solicit information about the future, Rabbi Yaakov, as who did?
King Saul.
King Saul did before his final war with the PLO. Transgresses the prohibition, do not turn to the necromancer. King Saul had no bravery. You see, the Radvaz raises, it was permitted to consult in order to save the lives of the IDF soldiers who were engaged in the war with the PLO.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed in 3,000 years. So he reasoned was permitted because he had no bravery. So the practitioners of Ovin Yidoni prohibited from engaging their sorcery by the verse in Deuteronomy, there shall not be found among you who does this. Yeah. Yeah. Now, did it work or didn't it work? Look at the Rambam. Look at the last paragraph of Yaakov. You want to read? Did it work or didn't? The Rambam states. You have it? The last paragraph in 4.
Yeah.
No?
Wait a minute. Last paragraph.
In footnote 4. Rambam states.
Rambam states in his commentary to our Mishnah that the sorcery of Ov and Yidoni were not really effective.
Mm-hmm.
The voices were merely imagined by the sorcerers. Much in the way that people living in solitude sometimes hear voices talking.
I hear voices talking.
For discussion, why King Saul consulted the sorceress,
according to this view, however, most
of the commentators maintain that sorcerers were able to engage in supernatural activity, including communication with.
And yet, it's forbidden for us, mm-hmm. on capital punishment. Even though it works, mm-hmm. it's forbidden. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Gemara says, Maishnahachi, the Ktoni Balofio. Here it says that the necromancer is subject to stoning. Umaishnah Gabakrisus, but the Mishnah Masechta Krisus, there it says that the practitioner of Ov, but Yidoni is Chayev Kores.
Oh.
And it admits Yidoni. There it doesn't mention the other type of necromancy. Why does it admit the other type? The karet you get, if there's no witnesses or warning, then you get karet, right?
Uh-huh.
Skeel is only the two witnesses forewarned the guy and saw him what he did.
Okay.
Otherwise, the human court cannot punish without a witness and warning.
Mm-hmm.
So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hoyel Shnei Malav Echad Emru, the Mishnah increases, lists only one of those sins because both of them were said in a single negative commandment. And therefore, one who violates both of them unintentionally is liable to bring only one chatas. If you do it, you didn't know that's forbidden. You have to bring a chatas.
Yeah,
what's a chatas? A sin offering.
Sin offering, yeah.
Sin offering, right? Yeah. Rishlokish Amar, Yidoni Pishema Maisa. Yidoni was omitted in the Mishnah Krisos because it involves no action. And therefore, one who does it unintentionally is not liable to bring a sin offering. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the difference between a chet and a avera?
Avera, it's a good question. Chet means a sin b'shogeg. The word chet means a sin done b'shogeg.
B'shogeg is unintentional.
Unintentional. Avera means a sin done b'mezid. So the word chet means a sin done b'shogeg. Korban chatas. When did the korban chatas brought? Sin offering is only brought for sins done b'shogeg. Only.
And avera?
Avera, that's a sin done b'mezid. Rabbi Yochanan on top of 65a2, Mashla Baloi be the Nakad, Mashin the Pasal Bekra. Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi, you were talking about those spirits
yeah.
You saw at the grave?
That the Vilna Gaon. Right.
I had only been here about a year.
Right.
I remember I was always dominant in the Kotel.
Right.
With Rabbi Borsi.
Right.
The Kabbalah guy. So, Rabbi. So he passed away.
He passed, yeah.
And so he left instructions that he wanted a certain size box over his grave. It had to be a certain dimension.
What do you mean a box? Yeah.
Out of stone.
Right.
Like people have over their grave.
Oh, and hello. You came at a good time. We're speaking about the seances. Seance is against the Torah.
What is that exactly?
Seance.
Contacting the dead.
Contacting to the dead.
Oh,
yeah.
But
Shaul
did it.
Shaul did it.
I got that
because Pekuach Nefesh. Good question.
I got the old sets.
David's Pekuach Nefesh.
I got four sets.
Pekuach Nefesh, you can eat on Yom Kippur, yes? So he said, put a stone on his grave, yeah?
No, he wanted a box built on the stone.
Go ahead.
That had a hollow spot in a certain dimension.
Go ahead.
So. Wow. A week later, he said, I want this 1 week after that. I think that's what it was, a week later.
Right.
So I go with a bunch of rabbis over there, Rabbi Sokol, different ones. So
right.
I go over there and we start working on this thing.
Right.
And all of a sudden I start coughing.
Coughing, yeah.
And I can't stop coughing and my throat, like somebody grabbed me by the throat and starts screaming.
Really?
I couldn't, I was having a hard time breathing.
Uh-oh.
I don't want that sound.
You should have skedaddled from there.
So I left out of the cemetery.
Yeah.
And I went outside and I was a little better, but I was still affected by it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I see Rabbi Sokol coming doing the same thing.
Also coughing.
Yeah,
can get one throat.
He says your throat's restricted.
Get one
yeah.
I don't know what it is. Unless some allergy in there or something.
An allergy, right?
So thank he you. Said, no, those are spirits. I said, what?
Yeah.
He said, no, those are spirits that are attacking you. And I said, well, I've been in graveyard. I've never had this happen before.
Yeah.
He said, have you always gone to Nape? I said, no. Have you always gone to Nape every morning? And I said, no.
Yeah.
He said, you lived in Israel? No. And he says, you were elevating yourself up to a different plane. And he says, if you have sins,
right.
Souls can read them on your forehead. And that opens the door, they can attack you now.
Wow.
So he said, one thing you did is got to go cover your head. So I said, well, how do I get rid of it?
Right.
He says, you've got to go to a spring mikveh with me. A spring mikveh will get rid of it. So sure enough, you know, and also what happened, I had tunnel vision. All of a sudden, I couldn't see. All I could see was like,
wow.
You could do this.
Now, this is really weird. Look at 65B2, David.
Oh, 65B2.
No, right here. You got to show this to David Goodman inside,
when I
went
and came out, it was gone.
Right. Now, how would they conjure up the spirit of the dead?
Yeah, how can they do that?
How do they do that? David, this is amazing. 65B2.
Wait,
Here, take this.
What page, please?
Take it.
Oh, thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. 65B2.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Now, you see the left side or you don't? 65B2 on the left side. This is really weird. You know when to come.
Yeah.
The Gemara cites another Baraisa, David. You have it? Left side, 65B2?
Yeah.
The Gemara cites another Baraisa dealing with the sorcery of old. How do they conjure up the dead person's spirit? Huh?
Yeah.
How? Tanya Rabbanan, you have it?
Wow.
Can you show him where? Uh-huh. Tony Rabbanan. You have it, David? Can you show him where?
The woman said the song.
Tony Rabbanan. The rabbis taught the Barais, a Baal Ov, a practitioner of Ov. Yeah. How would he bring up the spirit of the dead guy? This is really kinky.
Right here.
Echot Hamale Bezichroi. One who raises the spirit unto his male member. What does that mean? David, what does that mean? His male member. What does that mean?
His penis.
Right. Isn't that a weirdo? A kinky guy. What?
Well, how do you do that?
Don't ask me. Look at footnote 21.
Weird. That's weird.
Want to read that, David? Footnote 21?
He raises the spirit from the grave and causes it to settle on his male member.
Tosafos.
Tosafos takes issue with this. Since King Saul consulted what?
A female sorcerer.
To communicate with the spirit. If she ain't got no male member.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What's she gonna do? Hmm? Wow.
That's really weird, eh?
Pretty weird, huh?
Very.
Sick and getting sicker. Tulsa therefore explained the term simply titled used to identify practitioners
the
of
the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Ma Bein Zeh Lezeh. Back in the Gemara now. Mala Bezichwe. One who raises the spirit onto his male member, Ein Ola Kedarko, does not ascend naturally with its head first, but rather ascends with its feet first. The Ein Ola B'Shabbat, and it does not ascend on the Shabbos. So they actually raise the spirit of the dead, which is strictly forbidden in Judaism.
Uh-huh. You're not allowed to do that.
No.
Capital
punishment for the guy who does it.
What do we do to raise the... We don't raise
We're not allowed to.
We don't raise the spirit of the dead.
No, we're not allowed to do it. Now, Nishal Balgogolis, they would consult a shrunken head. You see that?
Oh, yeah,
like the witch doctor.
Yeah, they were witchcraft.
See that? It must be witchcraft. On top of B2, you got it, right side?
Yeah.
The Ola Kedarka, then it would come up head first. Ola B'Shabbat, even on Shabbat. Ola, Lecho Solik. To where does it ascend? Ho Kamech Manach. They're already lying on the ground. Ela Ema, when the skull is questioned, it responds naturally. Without having to settle into the esophagus joints. Wow. Vav Shelazu. Listen to this. Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva. Remember Turnus Rufus?
Yeah.
The Roman governor of Israel who executed Rabbi Akiva eventually. Right? So he would always challenge Rabbi Akiva with theological questions.
Yeah.
He said to Rabbi Akiva, in what way is this day, the Sabbath, different from other days?
Yeah.
Rabbi Akiva said... And why are you different from other men? A Malay, he said, the Turnus Rufus said, because my master desires it. Who's his master? The Caesar. So he said, Shabbos Nami. Shabbos too is special because my master desires it. Who's his master?
Hashem.
Turnus Rufus clarified his question. Amalei, this is what I meant to say. Who says that today is the Sabbath? Maybe you're observing the wrong day.
Oh.
Maybe your calendar is no good.
Yeah.
So Rekiva said to him, the river Sambatyon proves it because every day it flows turbulently and today it rests. Where's the river Sambatyon? Footnote 29, David. You see that? Where's that river?
Sambatyon is full of stones and it rushes along turbulently throughout the week, violently hurling stones all about. But on the Sabbath, it subsides. How do you like that? The river is commonly known as a Sambatyon.
Never heard of it?
Never heard of that?
Where is it?
Good thing you came today.
Where is it? I never heard of it.
I don't know where it is. Baalov Yechiach.
It's called the Sabbatyon.
See that?
It stops on the
Sabbatyon. Shabbatyon.
The river shuts down on Shabbos.
The river shuts down on Shabbos.
I've never heard of a river that shut down on Shabbos.
Wow. You see that? It's a good thing you came today.
Usually they always keep going. Shuts down on Shabbos. It's a Jewish river.
So Turnus Rufus wasn't happy. He said, maybe you're making it up. Look at footnote 30. You see that? Turnus Rufus was dissatisfied with the first answer. Maybe the river was far away. Perhaps Rabbi Akiva was making it up that it rests on Shabbos. And then Rabbi Akiva told him that a practitioner of old is unable to raise the spirit on the Shabbos.
Oh.
Uh-huh. The practitioner of the necromancy cannot raise the spirit on the Shabbos.
No.
Why? They're out to lunch.
Yeah.
Turnus Rufus put this claim to a test by attempting to raise the spirit of his own father.
Oh.
He succeeded in doing so every day of the week except when? Shabbos. When he raised the spirit on the following day, on Sunday, he asked his father whether he had converted to Judaism in the afterlife.
Can you do that?
Huh? Hey, Dad, were you out to lunch yesterday?
Right.
He didn't answer my call. He had a special phone to call. Remember the Twilight Zone?
Right.
It was a
Well, he turned it off on Shabbos, so.
He said, Dad, why didn't you answer the phone? You converted to Judaism in the afterlife. His father said, here, all rest on the Shabbos. Ooh.
Ooh.
Even the goyim, the souls of the dead goyim, also rest on the Shabbos.
That proves that the Shabbos is given even to the goyim in a way.
No, only in the afterlife.
How can a soul rest? I mean, is it working all week?
Go ahead, read the punchline. Turner's roof has asked his father, "For what do you need to rest? It's all over for you."
No.
His father replied, "From judgment." Uh-huh. The wicked are tormented.
How could this guy kill
But on Shabbos, even the souls of the wicked rest from judgment. Ooh.
How could this guy kill
Rabbi Akiva
after all this?
Yeah, he killed him. Isn't that amazing? Because it does not emit smoke on the Shabbos. What does that mean? Footnote 31. David, you want to read footnote 31?
Okay.
Throughout the week.
Wait a minute, where is it?
Footnote 31 on B3.
Oh, yeah, 31, here we go.
Throughout the week.
Wait a minute. Oh, throughout the week, smoke would issue from the grave of Turnus Rufus.
Wicked father.
As a sign that he was undergoing divine judgment. Wow.
But on the Sabbath.
But on the Sabbath, smoke will stop, since the sinners in Gehenna rest from the judgment.
So Rashi's saying that the sinners in hell rest from their judgment. On Shabbos, even Goyish sinners, they get the day off. Ooh.
Hitler too? Hitler gets it off?
Good question, Dave.
Hitler gets the day off?
Wasn't Turnus Rufus like Hitler?
I guess so. There were many Hitlers. How about Ahmadinejad? He should get it like now.
So back in the Gemara now, Omeloi, Turnus Rufus said to Rabbi Akiva, "You disgraced my father, you embarrassed him, and you insulted him."
How?
Footnote 32, Ephraim, how?
By saying that he is being judged in Gehenna.
Whoa. That's why he had him killed. Now, the Gemara examines. We're back. It's forbidden. There shall not be found any of young who inquires of old and Yedoni. The Gemara says, wait a minute. It says, Shoyel Haine Dorish Elamatim. There's another verse that says, you shall not contact the dead. Isn't it redundant? Yidig Gemara's Kasha, Rabbi Yaakov. There's no extra words in the Torah. It says, Shoyel Ov Haine Dorish Elamatim. Look at note 33, David. Why does the Torah state the same thing,
twice?
In one verse.
No.
So the Gemara says no. There's no repetition. Dorish lamesim kidatanya. The definition, one who seeks out the dead.
Is a demon in the cemetery?
Is taught in the Baraisa. Dorish lamesim. One who seeks out the dead. This is a reference to one who starves himself and goes to sleep in the cemetery in order that a spirit of impurity should rest on him. So he will find favor with the demon of the cemetery who will help him in getting in touch with the dead guy. You hear this? Ooh. Rabbi Akiva would arrive at this pasuk, he would cry. Why would he cry, David? If even one who starves himself in order to a spirit of impurity shouldn't rest upon him, meets with success, and the spirit of impurity comes on him, if one starves himself in order that a spirit of purity should rest on him, halachas kama kama, he should certainly meet with success. No?
Is this fasting you're talking about, starve himself?
Yeah.
I thought you're not supposed to do that.
You're not allowed to do that.
Whoa.
But these guys were not, right? Avo ma eset, our sins have caused us, shenemar, for only your sins are separate between yourselves and your God. Okay. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah.
So there are different ways of contacting the dead, all forbidden for Jewish people, but not for non-Jews. Yeah.
But once again, if it's not forbidden for non-Jews,
right?
But it's forbidden for a Jew to hire a non-Jew to do this.
Oh, whatever you cannot do yourself, you can't have a goy do for you.
Because that's what Shaul did, right?
I told you, we keep getting back to that. The witch was Yiddish. The witch that raised, you know who she was? She was the mother of Avner.
How could she be a witch? Avner, the general.
She was the mother of Avner, the chief of staff of Shaul's army. How could she do it? How are you allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? How are you allowed to break the Shabbos? Your life is in danger.
How does she know how to do it?
I guess she had other emergency calls. When God wasn't answering you, the Kuach Nefesh. How does Atzola learn to drive on Shabbos?
Maybe she's about you.
Maybe. Atzola learned to drive on Shabbos, no? The Kuach Nefesh.
Why does God allow the souls to come down? Doesn't he have control of them once they're there?
No.
What power do we have over people in the next?
We have awesome power, David. The power of a human being is awesome, dude.
We create the relevance.
That's right. What? God gave us that power. That's the Tzelem Elokim.
We can create angels and devils.
We can create angels. You make the call. Devil or angel, you make the call.
We're the conduit to between this world and the next world. Hashem put us in here.
That's right.
Create either angels or devils.
Or devils. You have to make the call. It's frightening.
The ball's
frightening.
In our court. He left the ball in our court, correct?
David, if you come just to hear this, I got you here.
Wait a minute, Rabbi. I got to put my microphone.
Get me back for Parshas Vayetze.
I got a microphone.
Parshas Vayetze.
Phone has everything.
Yeah, we're gonna get back, but first you got to go to Parshas Vayetze.
Where's the microphone?
Fasten your seatbelts.
Here we go.
Parshas Vayetze.
Record.
We're gonna read that in a couple of weeks. How many weeks are we gonna read it, Ephraim? How many weeks, Ephraim? In 2 weeks, I think. No, this week is Vayera. Then you get Chayasara, right? Then you get Toldos, right?
Right.
Then you get Vayetze. Page 85. Pasuk Yud Bet, David. You with me on page 85? Vayachlom, he had a dream. Vine Sulam, a ladder Mutzav Arza. This answers David Goodman's kasha. It's all in here. You have no way to look.
In the Chumash.
The Chumash, page 85. He had a dream, page 85, Yudav Yachum, Hina Sula Mutzav Arza, Verosha Begi Ashamayim, Hina Malachi Elohim, Olim, the Yarden Bow. And the angels of God were going up and going down. Do angels go up or go down?
They should be coming down. What do we have to go up for?
Yeah, after the mission.
Do angels go up or do they go down?
They're in heaven. What are they coming down?
Are they hell's angels or heavenly angels?
Oh.
You make the call. Yaakov is every yid. You have the power to make the angels go up, but you have the power to make them go down.
Ooh, bad.
It's up to you, you, New York. David, answer your question. How could we control the angels? That's what it says. The awesome power of a human being. To make the angels Olim or to make them Yordim. Where Rashi says the cherubim in Bereshis are Malachi Chabalah. He calls them hell's angels. In Parshas Truma, he calls them heavenly angels. What are they?
They got hell's angels in there.
Are they hell's angels or are they heavenly angels, David? What are they?
Up to you.
It's up to you, New.
Gee, that's powerful.
The awesome power
of a human being. It's unbelievable.
They're still in here.
We can destroy the world or we can make it a great place.
Even the angel of God, whether he goes up or he goes down, is up to us. So Rashi says in Parshas Bereshis that the Kruvim are Malachi Chabalah, hell's angels. But in Parshas Truma, he says they're heavenly angels. Is Rashi contradicting himself?
No.
They're both. Depends on us.
Depends on us what they are. Whether they're old in the yard, David. Paid to come today?
Paid to come. Walked all the way.
Good thing I called you.
It's a good thing you called me right now.
Good thing I called you. You would have missed this. Okay.
Yeah, even in quantum physics, it says nothing exists really. Only our conscious makes.
Well, Eyal Fuller keeps saying all the time, and keeps coming back, that we create our own reality. Not only our own reality. We create reality. It's awesome. We create reality up there. There's a famous Mishnah, Da Mala Mala Mimcha. Know what's above you. Rav Chaim Volozhin says we're not punctuating the Mishnah properly. Da mal mal. If you want to know what's going on up there, Mimcha. Kind of legend. Who he was? Hamavilla gone. The famous Mishnah, Da mala mala mimcha, know what's above you. He said that's not punctuating properly. Da mala mala, comma. If you want to know what's going on up there, mimcha. Same idea. Hope you're getting this down on tape. The awesome power of a Jew or any human being. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Huh?
We were born with a free will to do good or bad.
Right.
And like to the judgment, what we do here is also in the judgment in the heaven. You told many stories in this.
Yeah. Now, the Gemara here says amazing. What else is forbidden for a Jew to do? On 65b3, on the right side, you have it, David. The Gemara cites a Baraisa. On the right side, which says the Gemara cites a Baraisa. You with me?
Yeah. Tani
Rabbanan, Ma'onen. What does Ma'onen mean? Thank you. Ma'onen. I had to say this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalom Aleichem. This reference one who passes seven kinds of male seed over his eyes. Ooh. Sounds gross. This guy's a real weirdo.
Yeah.
A real weirdo. He passes seven kinds of semen over his eyes.
Takes all types, huh?
Takes all types. That's forbidden for a Jewish person to do. If you do that, Avram, you conjure up the spirit of a dead person. By passing semen.
That's necromancy?
The necromancy, right?
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
The first time I hear
it. It's a good thing you came today. It's forbidden. Chacham and Marmon, what else is forbidden? On 65b4, Ze'oches Eswanayim. This refers to one who creates illusions. Therefore, a magician in halacha has to explain his tricks. A magician has to explain his tricks. Otherwise, he's guilty of Oches Eswanayim. One who creates illusions.
Only Jews, though.
Only Jews. Look at the, what's his name? The guy who made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
David Copperfield.
Is he Jewish?
He is.
What Gemara?
Gemara,
Sanhedrin. Yeah, you like this Gemara?
Yeah.
Sanhedrin, 2 stars. How did he make the Statue of Liberty disappear? You know that?
Mm-hmm.
No, really. How did he do that? Really? David, how did he do it? The Statue of Liberty, how many stories?
He's amazing.
Big.
Oh, when did he do it?
David Copperfield.
He made it disappear.
He's incredible.
He brought it back? Is it back now?
He's a Jewish guy?
Yeah.
Hold it.
David Copperfield.
David Copperfield's a Jewish guy?
I think he is, yeah.
So a Jew can't do that. Unless he explains, David, how he did it.
Yeah. What page are you on?
65b4, Avram. You want to read that? Footnote 47. He creates an illusion of performing impossible acts like making the Statue of Liberty disappear, while in fact he does nothing.
Yeah. Which footnote?
At footnote 47.
Literally, one who seizes eyes, that is, he creates an illusion of performing impossible acts, while in fact he does nothing.
He does nothing. The Statue of Liberty didn't really disappear, did it?
No.
I
think he flew by with an airplane with a big black sheet over it or something.
So? So when he lifted the sheet, it was gone.
Yeah.
When he put the sheet over, it was gone. Then he lifted it, it was back or something like that.
So where did it go?
It was still there, just couldn't see it.
He hit mass hypnosis, right? Huh?
Yeah, that can be.
Mass hypnosis?
Yeah, that can be something.
Or what else is forbidden, David? Take a look. One who calculates times and hours. A lot of people do that. They don't know it's forbidden. You know that?
Uh-huh.
For instance, he says, today is a good date for departure. Look at note 49. Whoever departs today will meet with success. Tomorrow is a good time to buy. Whatever one buys tomorrow, the stock will go. Good day on Wall Street. He looks for signs in the times. A Jew is not allowed to do that. You know that?
Yeah, you can't look into the future.
Oh.
A Jew not allowed to work in
Well, that's what we
of
do.
Of course, but he can't say.
That's what you do for Mashiach.
Yeah. The eve of the seventh year usually produces superior wheat, or uprooting legumes prevents them from becoming spoiled. So what's he saying over here? Superstition is against the Torah. Superstition. What's it called? Stupidstition? Stupid. Superstition is against the Torah. You know, right?
Breaking a mirror, going under a ladder.
Right. That's not against Judaism, right?
So, that's no combat.
Far you know are big about.
What else? Let's continue. Wow. 65, what? Breaking a mirror?
Yeah.
No, you're not, no, it's nonsense. 65 B4, take a look. On the right side, Dave. It's a good book. You give him a good
they
book.
They break a mirror, they throw it away.
No, 65 B4. Tony Rabbanon.
You can't really fix it.
The mirror.
Menachesh.
You can't fix a mirror.
And all the guys.
No, no, you put a new mirror in.
Yeah, just put another mirror.
Yeah.
But they throw the frame in the mirror, everything away.
No, look.
It was funny. I just talked yesterday to a guy about it.
Yeah. So tell him to turn to Sanhedrin 65 B4. Speak like a
Roman. It's cheaper to buy a new one than to put it.
No, no. He said, no, you don't know Sparty. We've never. The mirror breaks, we never.
No. Oh, tell him 65 B4. One whose bread falls from his mouth, and he said it's a bad sign. A guy's eating a falafel, and the ball falls out of his mouth. Look at note 54, David.
You said it's going to be your good day.
He should therefore be concerned that harm
might
befall.
Concerned that might harm might befall him that day.
Or he should not therefore.
Not embark on a journey, for he will not meet with success.
That's against the halakha.
Friday the 13th.
Say that again. Look.
He's eating, and a piece of food falls out of his mouth.
That's bad.
You know, let's say it's bad.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
No. Or his stick fell from his hand.
Friday the 13th.
His stick fell from his hand. You hear this?
Yeah.
You say it's a bad sign. Mm-hmm. It's a sin to say that, or to act on it. Or his son calls him from behind. You're walking down the street and your child calls you from behind. Some people say it's a bad sign. Oh. A raven calls him. Quack, quack, quack.
Oh,
a raven. Ooh, a raven crosses your path.
But that makes
or a black cat.
A black cat, David.
How a raven can be angry with you in the morning when you're alone and you.
Or a deer crosses his path. Abra, look at that. A deer or black cat, a snake approached him, or a fox approached him. He says this is all bad omens.
No, a fox and a
not allowed. That's against. It's against Yahadut.
Or your lucky day.
Today's your lucky day.
I asked the bird. Why aren't you angry in the morning?
Look at the top of 66A1. You have it, David. What else? You tell the IRS, don't begin with me. 66A1, what do you tell the IRS? David, no what?
Nothing.
Do not begin the tax collection with me. Look at note number one, David. Can you read that?
Yeah.
He tells? Who?
He tells the tax collector to visit others first because he considers it as a bad omen to go first in a matter of monetary loss.
There! Some people don't want to write a check on Matzah Shabbos. You know that?
On Matzah Shabbos?
They don't want to write a check on Matzah Shabbos.
What's the problem?
Same thing here.
What is it?
Read.
If a Meshulach comes to your door on Matzah Shabbos, you can't give
him. Of course you cannot.
Wait a minute. What?
Nonsense. I know people like that.
Yeshiva.
They say they don't want to write a check. They don't want to begin the week with a loss of money. So they refuse to write a check on Shabbos night. It's nonsense.
It's definitely a good way to start the week, isn't it?
It's a bad omen, they say.
Well,
no, it's nonsense. 66 Abraham 1.
You're talking about
on the left side.
They didn't want to get money.
That's right. Oh, it says it right here. Look, I will not pay my debt until the morning of Rosh Chodesh or Matzah Shabbat. I know people that do that.
Today.
Yeah, it's against halacha. Read.
This is superstition.
Stupidstition. It is a Shabbos evening and thus the beginning of the week, and therefore what? Look at note number two, Avram. No?
He refused to begin any month or week with a payment of a debt for it considers it an auspicious beginning.
That's against halacha? Some people say, don't confuse me with the facts. Do you hear people say that?
How about beginning of every hour? Every hour I don't
want to
do it, right?
Right.
Don't
ban any
debt.
Oh, no.
Right. Contribute this to why people don't pay back loans.
Yeah, minute number 18.
It says that what these iron horas don't come on you unless you believe they come
exactly.
On.
Mayachuz.
You create the reality.
The iron hara can only hurt you if you believe in it. Uh-huh.
Thank you,
So this is against halakha. It's a negative commandment to say this or act on it. Do you know that? It's a negative commandment to say it, David, or act on it. Mm-hmm. So I call and ask so you once the Shabbos for donation for the yeshiva. You have to give me. I'm going fundraising Hanukkah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, to New York. Can I start
Don't forget the, what's his name?
Your friend who owns the parking lots? You still in touch with him?
Oh, no, I don't have his contact.
You love. Can I start with you? Is it such
He's
a good
a
thing to
How about David Ashkenazi?
I lost touch. Can you give me his phone number? I lost touch.
I'll have to look it up.
And I'm going Hanukkah fundraising.
Also, the guy from the
Can I begin with you?
Carl Bach Shul on 79th and West. What's his name? Leonard. He's a real estate guy.
Yeah? So they give me a couple of contacts.
I gave you his number once.
All right.
His name.
Yes?
They got these guys, a whole bunch of guys, these really wealthy guys. Bill Gates.
He got married, then he got divorced, I heard.
Got
I don't know
Facebook?
If again.
What's
the
guy's Facebook?
I heard. His mother
got him Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg.
And this other guy.
How do I get in touch
with
we'll
him?
How do I
get in touch with him?
These guys are trying
to get lost.
The rabbis
are away.
He doesn't want nothing to do with the Lubavitchers. They're all coming to him left and right.
He can't spell. How many billions does he have? He can't.
He want a macar of him.
He can't spend
them.
It in a lifetime.
Yeah, right.
You
got a bunch of these guys. Warren Buffett also.
You want to ruin his lifestyle.
You say
make
Warren
him
Buffett,
guilty.
These guys are billions.
Lay a guilt trip on him.
Away. You'll be doing him a favor, taking their
That's
money.
That's right. Buffett wants to give it away.
He wants to give away his money. Also, what's that guy from Larry Ellison?
He's Jewish.
Yeah.
He's
his
Jewish.
Father's Italian, but his wife, his mother was Jewish.
How do you get in touch with him?
Email, I guess. Call up.
Is he mind doing it for me? What do you got to lose? Because I know.
What about your webmaster? Have your webmaster call him.
My webmaster, Alex. Yeah.
He's got a company.
Oracle.
Oracle. Yes. And
wow.
Pension Larry Ellison present. Dear Larry,
Dear
I heard you want to give away. You're worth $9 billion. I heard you want to give $8.5 billion away.
We want to help you.
We want to help you.
We
want to help you. Money.
These people have.
Plus, we guarantee after 120 plus years,
that's right.
You'll get a bigger bang for your buck.
That's right. It's not a joke. Maybe I'll tell Alex, my webmaster.
Yeah.
Oracle. Pension Larry.
And also Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah.
You want to give away hundreds of millions of dollars?
Right.
Instead of wasting it on trying to find a cure for HIV in Africa so they can do whatever they want to do.
Right.
Robin Miller said they'll never find a cure for that problem.
Anyway, Matzah Shabbos. People don't want to write a check on Matzah Shabbos. It's nonsense. What else? Tony Rabbanan, David. You have it? On the right side.
Yeah.
You shall not calculate times, like we were just saying, you know, the good time, bad time. Kigon. Elo Amanashim, the verse acting like those Bechulda. They act based on the motions of a weasel.
A weasel.
Or the motions of a bird or fish.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. If the groundhog comes out of his hog, what's the day? Remember that?
Six weeks.
Wow.
If you see your shadow.
Yeah, you gotta see a shadow.
Look at note 4, amazing. Note 4, David, you want to read that? Note 4, there is consensus, David, no? Note 4. Second paragraph.
There's
a consensus.
There were people who would seek omen.
No, there's a consensus.
Well, I'm in the wrong one here.
Note 4, there's a consensus.
The next paragraph.
66A?
A1, note 4, second paragraph. There is a consensus.
Four lines down. Show me where. I'm sorry. There is a consensus among the commentators that the omens mentioned in these Bereses
are simply
superstitious beliefs.
Superstitious.
The Torah forbids us to let our lives be directed by nonsense.
Important. The Torah forbids us to let our lives be directed by nonsense. That people would base their movements of various creatures on engaging in an adventure or embarking on a journey, that's nonsense. The Torah forbids us to lead our lives by nonsense. However,
we're not allowed to go to these soothsayers or
of course not.
Palm readers or
of
these
course
people.
Not. However, there is a question as to whether the calculation of the times according to astrology is also mere superstition. The Ramban maintains that astrology has no basis in reality. It's all nonsense. However, many other commentators state that there is a basis to astrology, but the Torah forbids it following it because a man's true destiny is only in the hands of God.
Well, isn't that Abraham though?
We're going to talk. Right. Prayer and good deeds can nullify any evil decree that the stars ordain. As the Gemara states, from where did we learn that one should not consult Gene Dixon? The Torah says, you shall be wholehearted with Hashem your God. Okay. Abraham did consult the stars because Abraham wasn't Jewish. Don't you remember? We forget. Until he was 99 years old, he wasn't Jewish. What?
But he said it was nonsense.
The Rambam says it's nonsense.
Can you close that window? I'm really getting sick.
The Rambam says it's nonsense.
But Abraham did it. And he said, I know I'm not going to have a child.
Huh?
Because the stars show me I'm not.
Right.
But the stars are from Hashem too.
Right.
Well, when did...
Rav Huttner asked Eliyahu Fuller's kasha. How could the Rambam argue with a Gemara? The Gemara says that astrology, what?
Nonsense.
No, the Gemara says it's not nonsense.
From that, it works.
Even though it works, a Jew is forbidden to do it. How come Abraham did it? He wasn't Jewish.
But you said he wasn't.
How could he marry Hagar, a first generation Mitzri, even after conversion?
He wasn't a Jew yet.
He wasn't Jewish. Keep the 8 and go to heaven. Remember, yeah, 7 plus 1.
You said Abraham wasn't Jewish until he was 99?
Until he was 99.
Then what happened?
And then he had the bris milah, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, so that made him Jewish?
Well.
Did it or?
Did it? You tell me. Did it make him Jewish or not?
To my focus?
He still took back Hagar. Didn't he take back Hagar?
Yeah.
So, first generation Mitzvah, you can't marry.
Keturah.
Keturah is Hagar. So you see, he was Jewish and he wasn't. But until 99, he was definitely not Jewish.
I thought it was when they reached the number 70 that became a nation.
Who?
The Jews.
They say Abraham was the first Jew. That's not true.
What does it do with the Jews?
Huh?
You can't marry a first generation Mitzri, even after conversion. How could Abraham marry Hagar and Keturah?
So it's not true that Abraham was the first Jew.
There was no such thing as Jews. Okay, fine.
But wasn't Abraham the first one to bring in the belief of one Hashem, one God?
Actually, it was Noah, wasn't it? Wasn't it Noah first?
What?
Abraham didn't practice Judaism.
Well,
he practiced Noahidism. You know, Shem actually did it before him. His grandfather, Shem. But anyway,
what do they call them? Adamism?
Noahidism.
No, but what Adam had the 6.
Yeah, because Adam was a washout. The Talmud asked, how come it's not called Adamite religion?
Yeah.
Because Adam was a failure.
But he got 6 out of 7 Noahidism?
He was a failure. He got 6 out of 7. Which didn't he get? Eve Menachai he didn't get. Why? Because he wasn't allowed to eat meat, no how, no way. Who got the 7th Noahide law?
Noah.
What?
He was permitted.
What? Eve Menachai. Who got the 8th law in the world?
Abraham.
To be done on the 8th day.
That was the first.
Brit Mila. That's not Noah. Noah was out of the box.
What happened to 9? How did we jump to 6:13?
So, Eliyahu's Kashi asked Rav Huttner. The Talmud speaks about that astrology works. That it works. It's forbidden, even though it works. So how can the Rambam say it's nonsense? Rav Huttner says, of course astrology worked. But when the Rambam came along and said that it's what?
Nonsense.
It became nonsense. Please close the window.
He created the reality.
Rav Huttner, you heard of him? He got hijacked in 1970, David. He got hijacked.
I remember that.
The great tzaddik got hijacked by the PLO. It's a miracle they didn't kill him. So even though it works, you cannot participate. Okay.
What page are we on now?
We finished the subject. Now we're going to the parsha. We finished the subject. Yes, sir. Fire away.
Look at the Derech Hashem.
Derech Hashem. Go ahead.
Doesn't he have a whole section there on the astrology, the stars, and everything?
So even though it works, you're not allowed to consult it.
But he's allowed to.
It doesn't work anymore, though. I thought with the Rambam.
Others say it still works. So whether it works or not, that's not the question. You're not allowed to consult it. You're not allowed to consult it.
More science.
You're not allowed to.
Well, it's like we're not allowed to eat certain kind of food. But it's not that the food's bad. It's just we're not allowed to eat it.
Now here I'm going to tell you something amazing. If you came just to hear this, David Goodman, I hope you're writing this down. A difficult verse on page 61. This parsha you can spend a whole year or more. This parsha you can spend a whole year. Has the Akedah, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many. Where to begin? What?
What is it, number 5?
After the Akedah, David, page 61, what does God tell him? Page 61. Before we get to that, I'll tell you this first. Page 61. after the Akedah, what does Hashem tell him?
Yeah.
Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer. And he said, is God speaking, right?
Yep.
Or the angel? Al Tishlach Yotcho El Anar. Do not stretch out your hand against the boy. You have it, David?
Yeah, you have it.
Va'al Tashloi Mu'uma. Don't do anything to him. Not even a scratch. Ki Ato Yodati, because now I know, says God. Now I know. Ki Rei Elohim Ato. Now I know you're a God-fearing man.
Wow, he didn't know before?
Because you did not hold back your one and only son from me. So David Harel asked my question. Difficult verse. Funny God says, now I know. Didn't God know before? Doesn't God know the future? What do you mean, now I know? So all the Mepharshim struggle with this, the Rambam struggles with this, and they don't give an answer. There's one Rishon that's very courageous, and he gives an answer. His name is the Ralbag. See the difficult verse, Rabbi Yaakov? Difficult verse. It's a difficult verse. Rashi struggles with it. The Ralbag says something amazing. He says, Alpi Kabbalah, how did God create the world? Tzimtzum.
Tzimtzum, yep.
God is everywhere, everything. How could anything exist besides God? He's the only reality.
Right.
So in order to create the world, God had to practice Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means contracting, pulling back, limiting kaviyachol. God, so to speak, had to pull back within himself, restrict himself in order to make space for us. Because nothing could exist. He is everything. And he isn't everything. He is everything. So in order for things to exist, God had to practice Tzimtzum. I think the proper word is contracting.
Contraction.
That's how much God loved the human being, that he's willing to practice Tzimtzum to allow human being and creation to exist. But God purposely practiced that Tzimtzum. It's, on God's part, it was an act of ultimate love by limiting himself, Kavi Yochel, to make room for us.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone agrees to that principle.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that, the Ralbag takes it a step further. The question that always showing him asks, how could we have free will when God knows the future? It's mamish a paradox. They all struggle with that. If God knows the future and he has foreknowledge, then how could I really have free will? He knows how I'm going to choose before I choose it. So how could I choose otherwise? All the Rishonim struggle and they don't give an answer. Comes along the Ralbag and points to this verse. God loves the human being so much that he practices Tzimtzum, not just when he created the world, but he practices Tzimtzum also when it comes to what, Abraham? Free will. In order not to limit, influence, or interfere with God, with human beings' free choice, God also practices Tzimtzum when it comes to what?
Free will.
That's how much God loves the human being. So God says, now I know. Didn't he know before?
How many times I argued with him?
One second. Of course he could have known, but he didn't want to know. So just like he practices Tzimtzum, when he created the world, he purposely limits himself, and he did the same thing, not to interfere with my free will. So God made a conscious decision, David, a conscious choice, not to know my choice. David, God made a conscious choice not to know my choice in order not to limit my free will. Ralbag says this. Takes wide shoulders, Rabbi Yaakov Goldman. And otherwise, how do you learn Ki Ato Yodati? Now I know. Demonstrating how much God loves the human being. That he's willing to practice Tzimtzum Also, when it comes to what?
Free will
of the human being. Ki ata yadati. He points to this verse.
So how they explain?
He points to this verse. And he points to another verse. I hope you're getting this now. This opens up a whole new avenue. He says, now I know. Now, look at the conversation what Abraham has with God in the beginning of the parasha. And look what he says. Go back to the beginning of the parasha in Vayera. Abraham is bargaining with God to spare Sodom. Remember on page 49? Right?
Yeah.
He's arguing, bargaining with God. Right?
Doesn't know there are
not. Let's get to language first. Let's get to the language here. Amazing verse. You learn it as a kid, so you don't realize the awesome language here. Look. So Abraham says to God on page 49, if I find 50 tzaddikim, ulai, what does ulai mean? Perhaps there's 50 tzaddikim in the city. Will you destroy the city? So look what God says. Look what God says in Pasuk Chavav, David. Chavav on 49. Vayomer Hashem, and God says, Im emtza besadom chamishim tzaddikim etoch ha'ir, if I find, you hear what God says? If I find 50 righteous people in Sodom in the middle of the city, the Nasasi L'chala Mokam Bavuram, I will forgive the entire place for their sake. What's God say if? How do they translate that? Genesis 18:26. Can you read that?
Hashem knew there wasn't.
Genesis 18:26. Read, no?
If I find in Sodom 50 righteous people in the midst of the city,
he knew there wasn't.
Then I will spare the entire place on their account.
What do you mean if I find?
If.
Doesn't God know for sure whether there are or there isn't? Doesn't God know if he's a tzaddik or a rasha?
Well, God already knows the answer, but...
So what does he say if?
For Abraham's sake, he's saying,
he
well...
He played along.
If there were 50, I know there aren't, but if there were 50, I would save the city.
But he knows there isn't. He should have said, forget about it.
Well,
so the Rabbag again applies the tzimtzum concept. It's a dangerous concept, but this is what he says, and there are many, many ways this way. God tells Moses the Jewish people will believe. What does Moses say? No, they won't believe. God just told you they'll believe. What are you arguing with God for? You get Moses. At the burning bush, Hashem says the people will believe. Moses says they won't believe.
Yeah.
How can you say that? What's the answer? Again, you see this too. You say, Hashem, you practice Tzimtzum. How could you say that people will believe? You purposely don't want to know what they believe in. I know them and they won't believe. So if you're saying they'll believe, you're taking away their free will. So this is how the Rabbag, he plugs it in all over. And this answers so many difficult verses. The great Rabbag, one of the Rishonim, he says this concept of Tzimtzum, and he expands it to Bechira Chofshis. Because the age-old question that all of Rishonim struggle, how could I have free will when God knows?
This is what you're going to
do. So he says, for Tzimtzum. God does not want to know. Isn't that amazing?
So how did they
this way my free will is really free. I gotta be free. I gotta be free. Give me my free will. I won't give up my day job. No, I'll stick with my day job.
American Idol.
Well, at least you got to be on American Idol. Fall back on.
All right.
Israeli Idol.
Next Susan Boyle, right?
Susan Boyle. Everybody was like, "Wow, could she sing?"
Okay.
Huh?
Okay. So, we help in here.
How they learned this problem up to the concept of Simpson came into existence.
I mean, till the what? Before the Rabbat, other Rishonim don't accept that.
Yeah.
They say we just don't know. They say Dibre Torah Koloshim Bnei Adam. The Torah speaks in the language of men.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Torah speaks in the language of men. So, like a guy would say, "Yeah, now I know." They say Dibre Torah Koloshim Bnei Adam. The Torah speaks in the language of men. But
okay.
Stay.
So what? For example, the opinion of the Rosh Yeshiva about Tzimtzum?
Everyone agrees that God uses tzimtzum when he created the world. The question is whether he also uses tzimtzum in Bechira Chofshes.
Yeah.
As far as creating the world, everyone agrees to that.
Yeah. Oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah. Okay,
so
the name Jerusalem, where does it come from?
Oh, wait a second, let me take this.
The name Jerusalem is found, according to Tosfot and Tractate Tainis, it comes from here. The name Jerusalem. Wow. On page 61, after the Akedah, page 61, Pasuk Gudal, Vayikra Avram Shem HaMokam Ahu, Hashem Yireh. He names the place Hashem Yireh.
Hashem will see.
As God will see. Ashyom Hayom Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. In the mountain where God is seen. You see Yeroeh? David, you see Yeroeh?
Yeah.
So Tosa says that God, Abraham called the place Yeroeh. Malki Tzedek called the place Sholem. What did God do? You ever eat a combination sandwich?
Combo.
Combo. You ever eat a combo sandwich? David? Salami, turkey, pastrami? So God took Abraham's name, Yeroeh, and Malki Tzedek's name, Sholem, and he made it Yeroshalem. Don't smoke and track.
Why Malki Tzedek?
He was a great man. Noach. Shem ben Noach.
He lived here, though, in Jerusalem, right?
Didn't right. He was Abraham's great-grandfather. He was Noach. Shem ben Noach.
Malki Tzedek?
Malki Tzedek. Shem ben Noach. He called the place Shalem. Abraham called the place Yeroeh.
Oh, okay.
So what did God do?
Put them together.
Yeroshalem. Get it? Yeroshalem? Jerusalem? Question. Who lived first? Who called the place first?
Melchizedek.
So Melchizedek was the same thing as Shem, right?
Shem Menor.
Abu Mamzer wants to make it their capital.
1 minute, David. I want to know. I don't understand Tosfot and Tainus. Tosfot called to Medrash. God took Abraham's name, Yeroeh, and Melchizedek's name, Sholem. What do you get? Yeroshalem. Who named the place first? So it shouldn't be Yerushalayim. It should be Sholem Yeroeh.
Oh.
You hear my question?
Oh.
That's a $64 question.
What's the question?
Can you repeat the question?
So Jerusalem should be Sholem Yeru.
Why not?
Because
who named first?
It's Malki Tzedek, right? He came first, right?
Before he came first.
Mentioned first in here with after the War with the Kings.
He named it for many years before. He called the place Sholem.
Yeah.
Abraham added Yeroeh. So Tulsa says that God wanted to please both righteous men.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to start a fight with them. So he made a combo.
Mm-hmm.
So the combo should have been David, what? Sholem Yeroeh.
No.
Because Malki Tzedek named the place first.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess at the answer?
So
what does Yeroeh mean?
Be here.
God will see.
Oh, God will see.
Or Yireh Sholem. You can only have peace when you see God.
It doesn't mean fear.
When you see God in the picture. Otherwise, there's no peace.
It doesn't mean fear, right?
Oh, it's the same word. I like what you said better. Yeroeh means to see. It also means to fear. You could only have... It's the same thing. Why is seeing and fearing God the same word in the Hebrew Bible? Tell me why. Because when do you fear God? When you see Him in nature. How do you say see in Hebrew? Yeroeh. Yireh. How do you say fear in Hebrew? Same word. Same spelling, same word. Why? Because how do you fear God?
By seeing
Him in everything. By seeing Him in a molecule. You ever see a blood cell? They discovered amazing things out of them. National Geographic came out in a blood cell. They see unbelievable whole universe in a blood cell. Dave, you hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Scientists say they see the entire universe. It's a miniature universe. Every blood cell. So if you see God in everything, that's how you what? Fear Him. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me, please?
Yeah.
Don't you know why God put Yireh first? Because the only way to have peace is to see God in everything.
Right.
Otherwise, there is no peace. Isn't that gewaldig? Why Hashem puts Yireh before Shalem? You have to see God in everything.
He's behind the scenes.
And if you don't see Him in everything, it's no peace. It's a pistrafest.
Very good, Rabbi.
You like that? Now, I can't let you go yet. The first, baby, you got to inside. You got to see this. The first Haftorah in Bereishis. That sets the tone for all Haftorah. You know that. First Parsha, and the first Haftorah sets the tone. What's a better word than the tone? Maybe Tafkid or goal of Yahadut. Otherwise, it wouldn't be what?
The purpose.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be verse. Look at this first Haftorah, which will lead us back to the idea that we're talking about here. It's on page 17. Well, she was just 17.
I didn't know what I mean.
Okay. Page 17. Yeah. Son.
Yishayahu.
Yishayahu. Right. Let's take a look at this after that. Page 17, Pasuk Yud. You with me on this? Shir Ol Hashem Shir Chadash. Sing to God
a new song.
I like the old songs better than the new song, you know? I can't stand the new songs.
Yeah.
Give me the old songs from the 60s.
At least they played music on internet.
That's right. I want to know what Isaiah means. Shir Ol Hashem Shir Chadash.
Sing to Hashem a new song.
What is Isaiah saying?
Praise Him in Israel.
New love, maybe? Adventure.
Every generation has to sing its own unique new song to Hashem.
Yeah. Karlibach, it has new songs, a new energy, a new spirit.
Every generation that discovers new scientific wonders gives me a new reason to sing to Hashem. Going to the moon, the telescope, what's it called? The Hubble. All these signs, every generation that uncovers the wisdom of the universe has an obligation to sing a new song. Every new discovery is there to give us a new reason, David, to praise Him. Has there ever been such wondrous scientific discovery as our age?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have so many new reasons to praise Him?
Even the scientists are some becoming religious.
Shir Ol Hashem Shir Chadash. Every generation has a new song to sing. And all of the wonders that we see on National Geographic gives us new reasons to sing to Hashem. This sets the tone for the entire Haftorah. That's our obligation.
The creator, yeah.
It's just mind-boggling the wisdom that goes into a molecule or a blood cell. A molecule. Antibodies, what's it called there? When you inject a flu shot into you. That fights this.
Inoculation.
How does that work? You inject the flu into the person, yeah. And somehow that what? David, inoculation, right? You inject the polio into the guy, right?
Right.
And that fights the polio.
Weird.
Well, it forces the human body to fight it.
Well, who set it up that way?
Yeah.
Why? Everything in nature is found in the Torah. The concept of a vaccination, what's it called, immunization?
Yeah.
Where you inject the poison and the cure, the refuah comes from the sickness. Said the Tzadik HaKohen, well, he lived in 1903. When did Louis Pasteur live? Right? So he said that this concept of immunization and vaccination is found in the Torah. Has to be. Take a look at page 213. Tavsodik HaKohen. Page 213, Pasuk Chav Gimel. After the splitting of the Red Sea, the Jews come to a place and they can't drink the water. Page 13, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayovoy Morosa. See the top of it? Chav Gimel. They came to Morah. Vayokalishtos Maimi Morah. They couldn't drink the water. Kimorim Haim. The water was bitter. Alken Korshmai Banat. The water was poison, was bitter. They couldn't drink it. So the Jews cried to Hashem. Mm-hmm. So what Hashem say? Look at Pasuk Chav Hei. Yitzak el Hashem. He cried to Hashem. Vayirei Hashem eitz. Hashem showed him a tree. Vayashlech el amayim. And the Talmud says it was a bitter, a tree with bitter leaves. Olive trees, bitter leaves, you know?
No.
It was an olive tree with bitter leaves. Vayashlech el amayim. He threw the bitter tree leaves into bitter water. Vayamtuku hamayim. And what happened?
The water became
sweet.
Sweet.
Sham sam lechok mishpat sham nesol. This is the principle of immunization.
Uh-huh.
You take a little bit of the poison and you inject it. You throw it in, and that turns the water sweet. This is a vaccination. That's what he said. That's what they could call it, basically. He took a bitter tree and he threw it into the bitter waters. Vayamtiku hamayim. And somehow that was the cure.
Well, the bitter water, yeah.
This is an analogy, he says, an analogy for the principle of vaccination, of immunization. Mara will become matok. Inject a little bit of flu into the person, and that will give him the cure. That's amazing. Why should it work like that? The godless. So every generation has to sing Shir Chadash. Right? The incredible wisdom that Hashem put into a molecule, or you say a proton. A proton or a neutron, right? Electron. And this gives us Shir Chadash, a new reason to sing a song. La 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 la. Why sing a new song, right?